Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In this chapter, we learn that the light of Christ and the life of Christ within us can only be seen by others as we are free from self-glory and selfish agendas. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, with some background notes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul said of the Jewish people that when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians 3, 15 and 16. Now here in chapter 4, verse 3, we see that a veil exists not only for unbelieving Jews, but for all unbelievers. Let's look at that verse once again. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. We see in verse 4 that Satan is involved with this veil. The God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice that Satan is not permitted to blind people so that they have no choice and can't believe. No, he blinds those who do not believe. That is, they are already committed unbelievers. Satan is called here the God of this world or God of this age. This is a title that Satan did not have in the Old Testament, but only after the world rejected Christ. As a result of this veil, the gospel or good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, is hidden from the unbeliever. That is, unbelievers are blinded to the truth of the risen Christ, now glorified in heaven, with all power and authority given unto him. Tell that to your average unbeliever, and he or she will look at you as if you're out of your mind. To the world, Christ was just a good man who lived in history and was unfortunately crucified on a Roman cross, and only his teachings survive. How blind! Now our responsibility is to be available as the means that God uses to take away this satanic veil, so that the light of the glory of Christ can be seen, and those who are perishing can have their spiritual blindness removed, and as 1 Peter 2:9 says, that they may come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. But if we're going to be involved in this important ministry of veil removal from the hearts and minds of unbelievers, we must do it in God's way. As we see from verse 2 here, we must renounce the hidden things of shame. We must not walk in craftiness, serving ourselves and our own agendas. We must not handle the word of God deceitfully, as the false teachers at Corinth were doing. We must manifest the truth or tell the truth in a plain and understandable way. And we must commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is, we must practice what we preach. And that brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one, the light of Christ is seen as believers live to serve. The light of Christ is seen as believers live to serve. Verses 5 through 7. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In verse 6 here, we have a beautiful parallel between creation and salvation. Verse 6 once again, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As the Spirit of God moved in the darkness over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. So the Spirit of God has been at work to prepare our dark hearts for God to bring the light of Christ into our lives. Everybody see that parallel there? Now we have this treasure within us, and as servants, we need to share it with others. We live to serve others for the sake of Christ, as verse 5 says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. And so that we don't exalt ourselves, God has chosen to let his servants remain as earthen vessels or clay jars for the present time. We will get our new resurrected bodies later. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels or clay jars, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are not supermen. We are just common clay jars that are frail and fragile and aging and subject to headaches and colds and rashes and arthritis. But we have the treasure of the light of Christ within us. Now, the point of this whole passage is to show the great contrast between the message and the messengers. The message is the valuable treasure. The messengers are clay containers, earthen vessels, clay jars. Now, clay containers were used in Bible days for storing treasure, and clay vessels were also used for the oil lamps of those days. It's as we serve others for the sake of Christ that the light of Christ is seen shining from our clay jars. The light of Christ is seen as believers live to serve. Doctrinal point number 2. The life of Christ is seen as believers die to self. The life of Christ is seen as believers die to self. Verses 8 through 12. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to read something that I wrote on this passage about 30 years ago. It's entitled Jars of Clay. Quote, in verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul proceeds to show that the Christian is not only a common earthenware container, but is a battered container as well. He mentions instances in his own life which were impossible situations for mere man. The deliverances which he experienced were clearly brought about by the power of God and not by the genius of man. In these two verses, verses 8 and 9, four sets of words are used to describe the battering of the clay vessel on the one hand, and the miraculous deliverance by the power of God on the other hand. Hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down all refer to the battering which a Christian undergoes as a messenger of the gospel. But not crushed, but not in despair, but not abandoned, but not destroyed all refer to the deliverance which God is able to bring to any impossible situation. We can all think of times when God stepped into our situation and saved the day. God purposely permits the clay pots to be battered so that he can exhibit his supernatural power in the situation. In verses 10 and 11, God's purpose is further emphasized. All the struggles and hassles of the battering a Christian goes through have the result of breaking open the clay jar so that the treasure within can be seen. Even though the anxiety of circumstances, the antagonism of persons, and the attacks of Satan himself are death blows to the natural human vessel of clay, the very life of Jesus is revealed through the Christian as a result. To carry around in our body the dying of Jesus and to be given over to death for Jesus' sake is to experience in some small way the battering which our Lord went through when he walked on this earth. The Christian who is seeking to live a godly life will in some way know what the hate of this world and the attacks of Satan are all about. See John 15, verse 18, and 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 in this connection. As the Christian undergoes these deadly attacks and the jar of clay is broken down, the life of Christ can be both seen and communicated more easily to others who need this treasure. In verse 12, Paul says that the breaking process at work in his life resulted in new life in Christ for the Corinthians. Will new life come to someone because Jesus has been seen in your life through a broken jar of clay? End of quote. The life of Christ is seen as believers die to self. Now, if you would like to read more of this devotional essay entitled Jars of Clay, it is on our website, growingchristians.org, indexed under 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The life of Christ is seen as believers die to self. Now, what about further practical application for 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Let's weigh our afflictions on God's scale. Let's weigh our afflictions on God's scale. Verses 13 through 18. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In this last section of the chapter, Paul looks by faith beyond this present scene to eternity. In verse 13, he quotes Psalm 116, where the psalmist looks by faith beyond suffering and death to God's deliverance. In the same way, we should look by faith beyond our afflictions now, which are only temporary, to our eternal deliverance and glory, which will ultimately come with our resurrection to be with the Lord in the future. Verses 14 and 18. In the meantime, let's recognize that through our present afflictions, God spreads the good news to more people as the light and life of Christ are seen through our broken jars of clay, and God is glorified. Verse 15, the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 16, in the light of all this great truth, how much do our present afflictions weigh compared to an eternal weight of glory? Answer, practically nothing. They are very light. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, we may not think our afflictions are light now, and this talk is certainly not to minimize our present afflictions. But let's weigh our afflictions on God's scale.